And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Melody. Happy hump day.
Yes, yes, it is. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us today. But first, we're going to do the market report. And let's go ahead and see. Of course, the Dow is up almost 900 points for 2 days, but we'll talk about that after we see the pressure on gold. You know, it was down early and just hung around the $5, $6, $7, $8 level today to the downside. We're currently in the New York spot price down $690 at $1,216 for gold. Silver is down 19 cents at $14.35. Platinum is up 3, 842, and palladium is up 5 at 1,084. The USDX today is trading stronger, of course, 0.06, 97.06. Crude oil was down 1.17 at 65.01. And the market... the Dow was actually up over 400 points today, and we're looking at 272 right now. Let me get to my better screen that gives me a more accurate reporting here. Let's see if it says the same thing. 242 points. The Dow was up 25,116. So, last minute it dropped 200 points. So, the NASDAQ was up 144 points, a little over 2%. 7,305. The S&P was up 29 at 2,711. Ooh, 10-year yield, 3.16%, up 0.05. I mean, the Asian markets were just, Japan was up 2.16%. European, Hong Kong, they were all basically same, almost 1.5%. Still looking at extreme fear and the fear and greed index, and Bitcoin is hanging out at 6,300, just under 1%. So, actually up less than 0.75%. So, we have lots to talk about, and this is the last day of the month, October 31st. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi.
Hi. I thought we'd kind of conclude our topic we started last week on some of the global fines that are starting to work into countries and their legal side of governments regarding vaccine compliance. And we do have a clip we're going to play in just a little bit, but first I wanted to kind of recap. We left it off last time talking about some of the labor forces that are in the fight, because people may be astonished to find that there's a vast list of vaccine opponents out there, and some of them are your professional organizations in the United States. So it appears that in some cases, the federal rebates and the lobbyists and the pressure from other sources is not enough to convince these institutions they need to comply with mandated, let's say, flu vaccinations. So this means millions of Americans are standing up and saying no. And here's a brief list. A lot of your labor unions and trade groups that represent skilled workers are on the list. So we've got the American Medical Association that has 228,000 members says no. Service Employees International Union that represents over a million healthcare workers says no, as well as the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees with over 1.3 members. The American Federation of Teachers, over 1.6 million members. The Association of Flight Attendants, as well as the Coalition for Kaiser Permanente with over 95,000 members. The United Steel, Paper, Forestry, Rubber, Manufacturing, Energy Allied Industrial, and Service Workers International Unions say no, they don't want to make their employees get vaccinated. So here's a quote Obviously, you know, the physicians and surgeons must know something that, you know, the public's not being told about vaccines. Here's a quote from them. They said, the Association for the American Physicians and Surgeons objects strenuously to any coercion of healthcare personnel to receive influenza immunizations. It's a fundamental right not to be subjected to medical interventions without being fully informed consent. So what is the public not being fully informed about that doctors and surgeons have been informed about with regard to influenza vaccines? What do you think?
Well, I think a lot, but you tell us.
Well, that's the thing. And you know, the poor people, apparently the medical professionals know a little bit more. And the medical professionals, though, in Rhode Island have a fight ahead of them. Here's a quote from VacTruth.com regarding their situation. They say, the state laws in Rhode Island require healthcare professionals to receive a mandatory flu vaccine during any period in which it's declared to be a widespread flu outbreak, or face citations of unprofessional conduct and risk their license and pay a $100 fine. So when is it not each year considered widespread and a big flu outbreak? Let me ask you.
I can't remember the last time I heard. Oh, it was a very minor flu season.
Oh, I know. Well, I know your lovely engineer over there has gotten this this clip. I want to set it up. This is a doctor who's been in practice for like 30 years, and he's testifying before his state legislature, and they're about to vote on some sort of mandatory vaccination program, and he's there giving them some advice. So if we can run the clip, that'd be great.
I've been studying vaccines for close to 17 years. I'm not really here to speak against or for vaccines. I am for the legislation. What I'm here to speak about is for science. And I think in all of this discussion, what I'm hearing is an attempt to get you legislators to pay attention to science. And I'm advising you and asking you to look at the science and not at the rhetoric. You have a very difficult task, which I empathize with, which is you have to try to make sense of the very august and respected institutions represented by pediatrics, the Department of Health, which are advising you that these medical interventions are safe and effective. Unfortunately, if you look at the science, you will not find the evidence to support those conclusions. Please look at the evidence. The days of Marcus Welby are over. We cannot just listen and take what our doctors say with blind faith anymore. And please don't do that. Don't listen to what you hear in this room today, except that it might inspire you to learn on your own what the truth is about vaccines.
That's
part of the truth that you will learn is that much of the outcomes have not been researched. We do not know the long-term effects of vaccination because they have not been researched. Why not? I think you can guess why not. How interested are the vaccine companies in finding out the answers to those questions? What independent research will be funded that will answer those questions? There has been some research done which indicates that those cohorts of children who have been fully vaccinated have a higher incidence of chronic illness than those cohorts that do not. This does not diminish the value of the vaccine in reducing the incidence of infectious disease. However, we are reducing the incidence of infectious disease with one stroke and increasing the incidence of chronic illness on the other. This is science. I'm not making this up. Okay? So, when I was in medical school, I was taught, don't talk about the bad side effects. You're going to scare the patient. If that's what you want your doctors to do, you should believe the doctors in the room who have told you there are no serious side effects.
Thank you, doctor. Doctor, I just have a quick question. You said you're into
the science aspect of the right. of the medical practice. Are you an MD or are you a scientist? Or
I'm an MD.
You're an MD?
Yes.
And you specialize in the science of the medicine? Is that what it is?
Well, I would like to think all of us doctors go to the science, advise people based on science. In our medical training, we actually do not get training on the science of vaccination. That is not part of medical training.
Oh, okay.
And those people who say, and there have been people who said this, you should trust the doctors. They have the training. They have not received training in vaccination. That is not done in medical school or residency. And I would ask you to find a pediatrician who says they've been well-educated in the science of vaccines. They aren't.
I would assume that our Department of Health, you know, there are certain vaccinations that, you know, that we want our children to have that would be required.
I ask people to investigate each and every vaccine on its own merits. My own pediatrician, for my own children, he has allowed my children not to be vaccinated above and beyond what my wife and I asked, but he says that he assumes that the CDC and the health department would not be recommending these vaccines if they were not safe and effective. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if you look at the evidence, you will find that assumption to be unwarranted. Do the research. You will find the evidence does not support that assumption. It's nice in Marcus Welby world to believe that it is warranted. It is not warranted. The CDC has been shown to be extremely corrupt, and much of the research was done. Researchers were paid to find certain outcomes that the CDC wanted, and when the outcomes weren't obtained, they suppressed that data. It's really outrageous how far we've come from science with this. Follow the science. Don't believe what I'm saying or anybody else. Follow the science.
Thank you, doctor.
Well, there you have it. Here's a doctor that doesn't have his own children vaccinated because he's actually done some independent digging and has found out what some doctors are beginning to discover is vaccines. The vaccines are causing all this internal medicine, chronic illness, and making people patients for life. So that's basically the message.
Well, I think what I heard when he talked about his doctor not vaccinating his children, he said that his doctor is respecting his wife's decisions on which and what. And that's
right.
Something that we've lost as far as the communication between the patient and the doctor. You know, that has been broken. And
right.
So that's... And, you know, he says follow the science. You also have to follow the money.
Right.
Follow
well,
the money.
I mean, he was walking on eggshells. You can tell he was trying to choose his words very carefully because he has a license he has to protect. And if he just came out there and said it pretty much like it should be said, he'd probably risk his license. So, but he was given legislation, you know, a shot across the bow. Hey, you know, if you don't want to be, you know, having a bunch of sick people on your conscience, you better do your homework before you vote on this bill.
And you know what's really sad? He also made the statement that, you know, he wasn't going to take, and you're right, he was choosing his words carefully about mm-hmm. taking away, you know, if, you know, the positives that might come from it. And it's really sad that we live in a world that we aren't given the choice, that we aren't given the information so that we could make that decisions what we want to put into our bodies, you know.
Right. So this is the whole point about the global fines with government-run healthcare. It's you lose that right to make decisions regarding treatments that you may perceive as being harmful. You lose that right to protect yourself is what I'm trying to warn the Americans about, because what's usually across the pond tries to come here. It is a political thing as well as you say, follow the money thing. But you know what? In the meantime, you know, you and I can stand our ground, but we also need to be aware of all the legislative changes in our own states that may impact not only ourselves, but generations of people to come. So, you know, while if we're Christians, we're supposed to stand up for righteousness' sake. And it's really time that we do demand of our physicians, Melanie and David, that they provide us with solid, well-defined, independent scientific evidence that supports the recommendation of vaccine use. Now, if they want to cite the health department, the CDC, and the FDA, all that trivia, you should let them know that's kind of like advertising. Where's the independent peer review research not published by the pharmaceutical companies? Where's that long-term study that vaccines cause no harm? Until they can put that into your hands, there is always that physician's warranty, a vaccine safety form people can arm themselves with. It is available on the internet for download. But if you can't find it or if you don't have the internet, Apothecary Herbs will send you one for free, no problem. Also, Melody, did you know there's a way to reverse a vaccine?
You should know that.
Oh, yeah. I certainly do.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that they can actually reverse a vaccine like you would snake venom. Okay? And this is really important to know, not only for your health reasons, but also, you know, some people could be in tight situations with a demand with the vaccines in the mix. For example, here's some examples. Let's say your livelihood is threatened, it's required for work, or your parental rights are violated and authorities want to take your children away. Or when you're in a divorce situation and the parents aren't agreeing on vaccination, as well as you may need it to attend public education, colleges, universities. You may need it if you want to travel outside the country for any reason. And also you want to keep maybe your health care coverage in the future because it's going to be linked to your compliance with vaccines. So if you want to know how to reverse a vaccine, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have two products that help you do that. And it's been very successful. They also use it for any kind of venom, snake bites, brown recluse spider bites. So it's anything that's a toxin. It's very good at reversing.
Oh, fantastic. Well, how do you do it? How do you take it?
Well, there's two products. One is a topical that you put on the injection site, and you want to use this as soon as you can. You don't want to wait weeks or years to do this. Do it when you get vaccinated, and it will dry out the vaccine, and then the other product you use internally to catch anything that skips through the blood system. So it really does cleanse the blood system where the vaccine likes to travel and then sink deep into tissues. So it helps also children. They don't have that irritability and the soreness at the injection site. So some parents are very happy with that. So very inexpensive, maybe $50 for the two items together. Yeah.
And how do they contact you and how do they make the order?
Absolutely. Give us a call. By the way, we're having our Winter Be Well sale, 15% off orders of $50 or more now through the 4th of November. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit the web, thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll be back right after these few short commercials. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'll be joined with Dave Allen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. $422 brings you a $25 face value of 90% silver, along with a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, $422. If you purchase two packages, it'll include your shipping, and you can buy one to 100 or more. We have at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Before we talk about mortgage applications down, here's just some information that came right out prior to the market closes today. Corporate bond issuers had their worst day in 2 months. So when you're seeing all these great stock prices rising, there's other things that are going on in the background that very little few people talk about. Sales totaling $4.3 billion, including from Corning Inc. and Ryder Systems Inc., failed to drum up much interest from U.S. investors. And Corning failed to move from its so-called initial price thoughts, generally considered a floor for pricing. The first time this has happened for a deal since September. Order books on the day were just 1.7 times covered, compared to the year-to-date average of 2.9 times. So yeah, I'd say that's a little bit of a drop. And let's see if there was any. It was a very short commentary here. They talked about Daimler Finance, North American, Canadian National Railway. They announced deals that were expected to be priced today. So corporate bond issuers had their worst day in 2 months. That was yesterday. That was actually Tuesday yesterday. So, and
Melody, guess what else is going on as the market approached closing today, and with stocks cheaper than they were a month ago. Something we talk about a lot this year. Guess what's being bought back at increasingly record shares?
Gee, I don't know, Dave. Why don't you tell us?
Well, shares of stock.
Oh, gee, really? Yeah. Do you have numbers on that?
Let's see. Well, it just says, in the last 12 months, companies in the S&P have bought back roughly $700 billion of their own stock. Here's IBM has bought back 4% of their shares outstanding, Estee Lauder 11%, Akamai 8%, Nutrisystem 8%, Maximum 11%, Intercontinental Change 5%. So those are just some of the...
So the market's not going up because of a great economy?
Oh, boy. Well, this correction of the last 2 weeks has apparently presented... an opportunity for these companies that have had some cash on their hands this year, whether it be from the corporate tax cuts or increased earnings, what have you. But as much as we're being told the news about wages, which we'll talk about in a minute, is good, not much of that is going into significant wage increases beyond the one-time bonuses, relatively modest bonuses at that, for the most part, that were announced in January and February, right after the tax cuts were corporate tax cuts were implemented.
Well, you know, with the tax code changes, there was supposed to be how many trillions of dollars repatriated back into this country, and it was slow and trickling in, and I always thought that they'd wait until this time of the year, because if there was any type of pullback in the markets, that's when they would go in and buy it up to, you know, kind of hold it tight. Plus, we have, there's been reports coming from your financial news programs that individual investors are plowing into these stock markets, buying on these dips. And they've been doing that since the first correction this year back in February. So, again, I mentioned this before, it's another telltale sign that, we're at the top, ladies and gentlemen. And there was another report today that came out, the U.S. debt sales top crisis era levels as fiscal bump spurs growth. You have the U.S. Treasury Department today announced debt sales will surpass levels last seen when the country was digging out its worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. This time around, fiscal stimulus is adding fuel to an already growing economy. And a ballooning budget shortfall fueled by tax cuts, spending hikes, and an aging population is driving the treasuries to raise the U.S. Treasury to raise its long-term debt issuance at its quarterly refunding auctions to $83 billion from $78 billion just 3 months ago. The need for the Treasury to raise auction sizes for the fourth straight quarter is also driven by the Federal Reserve's decision not to replace some of its Treasury holdings when they mature as it's winding down their crisis-era stimulus measures. So, again, this debt issuance at this quarterly refunding beats the previous record of $81 billion that was set by Treasury Secretary Little Timothy Geithner in 2009. Again, as we were trying to come out of the Great Recession. So this time, this borrowing is helping the economy hum along at the 3.5% annual growth rate. And but the Treasury's fourth quarter refunding plan, the Treasury sees $1 billion auction size increases for 2-, 3-, and 5-year notes. Let's see if there's any other. There's a whole bunch of interesting stuff in this, but Treasury say auctions to raise $28.7 billion in new cash. And so we did see the benchmark 10-year yield climb as much as 4 basis points today. So, again, they need more money, more debt, in order to fund this government. So these are not good signs. Dave.
No, they're not.
You know, they're not good signs. And we see mortgage applications, they're down 2.5% last week compared with the previous week. And this was according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Well, we do have some good news today, but the volume was 16% lower than a year ago when mortgage rates were nearly a full percentage point lower. Mortgage applications to purchase a home, which are less sensitive to the weekly interest rates moves, fell 2% for the week and 0.4% lower the same week in 2017. And actually, that's the first annual drop since August. So home sales have been slowing for months.
Yes, they have. I mean, the average contract interest rate for 30-year fixed mortgages with conforming loan balances of $453,000 or less remained unchanged at 5.11%. Mortgage apps to refinance a home loan, which surged the previous week, dropped 4% last week and were 32% lower than a year ago. The refinance share of mortgage activity fell 0.4 of a percentage point to 39.4%. From the previous week. And the adjustable rate mortgage share rose to 7.6% of all applications. That's the highest since May of 2017.
Well, you know, there's likely will be more volatility this week. You know, there's several events that could impact the bond market. Mortgage rates loosely follow the yield in the 10-year Treasury, and we're certainly seeing rates are at risk of bouncing higher more noticeably unless they get some help. And and housing is a very important part of our economy. So ADP came out today, and again, they're always wrong. They're never the same as the government. So, but everybody focuses so much on this number. It's like, well, yeah, I really need to wait until Friday and then see who's telling the truth. But ADP came out and said private payrolls rising by better than expected 227,000, according to ADP and Moody's Analytics weekly report that was released this morning. And some economists surveyed expected growth of 189,000 after September's 218,000 that was revised lower from the initial count of 230. So construction and manufacturing jobs added 17,000 each. Services sector added 189,000 positions. So,
yeah, you know, we'll remember that this ADP payroll report and the government report that comes 2 days later are different. So the numbers will, in turn, differ, although the degree to which they differ in terms of reported versus expectations are significant, and you know, always divergent. Sometimes they're closer, but more than not, they're pretty divergent from actual, particularly as we see in the following month when the numbers are revised up and down. But, you know, small businesses, which have paced much of this recovery, lag behind with just 29,000 new hires. And that to me is real significant because, you know, these are the, you know, people, the mom and pop shops, not just mom and pop shops, but a lot of majority of small businesses are, and it indicates another sign of a tightening job market where qualified workers are getting harder to find, especially for small businesses. You know, Mark Zandi, who's chief economist at Moody's, who's a party to the ADP payroll report every month, said the current numbers are a testimonial to what he calls robust employment picture. And it's the broad-based gains in jobs across industries. He said the only blemish is the struggles small businesses are having filling open jobs. Now, as Melody alluded, the Labor Department will report on Friday. That'll also show government employment, but the non-farm payrolls they expect to show an increase of 190,000. They expect to be below the 201,000 during the past 12 months. Melody.
Well, I did say there was some good news, at least on the face of it. We have wages and salaries. It jumped 3.1% in the third quarter. So the employment costs rose more than expected in the third quarter, in a sign that more inflation could be brewing in the U.S. economy. The Labor's Department Employment Cost Index rose 0.8% for the period, ahead of the 0.7%. Here we go. Wages and salaries rose 0.9%, well ahead of the expectations for 0.5%. So on a yearly basis, wages and salaries jumped 3.1%, and this is the biggest increase in 10 years. So, you know, that's seems to be a good sign, Dave.
Well, yes, but as you said, but, you know, the Fed has been raising interest rates in an effort to stave off future inflationary pressures. And, you know, the Fed views that in terms of several things: the pace of economic growth, the pace of inflation. Part of the inflation is the movement in wages. Now, we know that the Fed's preferred gauge of inflation rose 2.5% in the third quarter, including a 1.9% increase for health benefits. Employers have been looking for non-salary measures to retain workers these days, but you know, they may have to start increasing wages to attract and retain talent. In addition to the tighter job market, various states, as well as, you know, communities and private companies, have passed minimum wage increases also adding to these inflationary pressures. State and local government compensation costs, by the way, rose just 2.5%, one-tenth of a point more than the increase for the same period 1 year ago.
Well, you know, guess who's back in the news? Janet Yellen.
No!
Yeah, Janet Yellen. The data dependent Federal Reserve Chairman. Former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, who was always data dependent. Anyway, yesterday, she said the United States is taking on too much debt right now.
Hey, there you go, know, Captain Obvious.
Geez, you know, a problem that will only worsen going forward, moving forward, she said. You know, well, how many degrees do these people have? I mean, it's just like, you kind of wonder, you know. But anyway, she said that if she had a magic wand, maybe she lives in Colorado, I would raise taxes and cut retirement spending. She didn't offer any specifics on either suggestion. So I'm glad, you know, I guess most people are glad she doesn't have a magic wand. Taxes are going to rise anyway, somehow, some way. They have to rise, and they have to be raised. And cut retirement spending? Is she referencing Social Security by any means?
Yeah. What else could she be referring to?
But she did say, and this I think is important, what she said. She characterized the U.S. debt path as unsustainable. As we reported 2 weeks ago, the federal government's budget deficit rose to $779 billion in fiscal 2018. And that is up 17% from fiscal year 2017. This happened after President Trump signed a bill late last year slashing the corporate tax to 21% from 35%, and that cut taxes for many individuals, primarily the top 1%.
Yeah, in addition, Melody, we know spending levels climbed to their highest levels in 6 years. That was after an inexplicable omnibus appropriations bill that was passed in January. While revenues only increased slightly over the same period. Yellen noted this is only going to get worse as more baby boomers retire and spending on retirement and health care programs grow. The former Fed chair also said she worries about the role of the U.S. economy as we and China slap tariffs on each other's goods. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Now, I agree that taxes ought to be raised, but come on, only on the top, 10-20% of incomes. You know, it's that group that will reportedly reap over 80% of the benefits of last year's individual tax cuts. And certainly as we're approaching a recession, a broad tax cut on the middle class and the lower class is not that wise. We reported before the Nonpartisan Center for Budget and Policy Priorities has reported that the bottom 20% of taxpayers will receive an average tax cut of $70 by 2025. Go ahead.
I hear the news. We got to be heading into a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll finish this up when we get back. Listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and of course, these radio programs are archived on a long-term basis. So if you miss the programs, make sure you get there. That's a way of listening to it, and all of our other stations that we're on, wherever you may be. If you hear a replay and you hear our special, please call me, because many times I will offer the program. As long as gold and silver hasn't changed too much, I can offer the same special that was announced on the live broadcast. So
nice.
I always, today, my first trade, he got free shipping. So if you catch me in a good mood, be the first caller of the day every day, you might get free shipping. So anyway, 1-800-375-4188. We were just finishing up the taking on too much debt, and I think we were pretty much done with that. But we were talking about the tax cuts and how much the top 20% will receive from that. Large corporations, especially banks, are going to reap the lion's share of the corporate tax reductions, and of course, you know, it will also increase our national debt by almost $2 trillion, and that's in today's terms. Next year, it's going to be $2.25 trillion. Then each year, it's going to be more. You know, if we have those additional years in order to continue to keep this tax cut going. Speaking of debt, we're just going to follow through, and I'm not a big fan of James Rickards, but I think he said something important, and he's observing the great Chinese growth slowdown that has been proceeding in stages for the past 2 years, and I do agree with him, so he's kind of spot on this one. And the reason is simple. About 25% of China's growth has consisted of wasted infrastructure investment in ghost cities and white elephant transportation infrastructure. That investment was financed with debt that now cannot be repaid. Sound familiar? This was fine for creating short-term jobs and providing businesses to cement, glass, and steel vendors, but it's not a sustainable model. Since the infrastructure either was not used at all or did not generate any sufficient revenue. So, again, China's future success depends on high value-added technology they need and increased consumption. But if we shift to intellectual property and the consumer means slowing down in the infrastructure, and all that will slow down their economy.
Yeah, and that in turn, Melody, means exposing the bad debt for what it is,
mm-hmm.
You know, which risks a financial and liquidity crisis. Well, China started to do this last year, but quickly, you know, turned tail when the economy slowed. Now the economy has slowed so much, its markets are collapsing. You know, doesn't China have over $1 trillion of reserves to prop up its financial system? Well, on paper, yes, but in reality, China is short U.S. dollars. The Chinese may have $1.4 trillion of U.S. Treasury securities in reserve, but they need those assets possibly to bail out its own banking system or to defend their yuan. That may be the real reason why China isn't dumping treasuries as a response to U.S. tariffs, and may account for why they probably won't. In short, China can't. At least it can't, not just yet. Meanwhile, the Chinese banking sector, which in many ways is an extension of the state, owes $318 billion in U.S. dollar-denominated deposits of commercial paper.
And you know what? I don't know how many trillions of dollars have been lost since the world's stock markets have basically collapsed. We've seen China's go from, I think their peak was somewhere around 36, is now 25. We've lost $2 trillion so far in October.
This month.
This month. And, you know, so ladies and gentlemen, that's got to filter down somehow, some way. And, you know, again, you know, who's losing it and what's been lost. And we still have November and December to go. So just because we didn't have an October surprise doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're going to be on positive soil again and everything's going to be, you know, moving to the upside and all of our financial worries are gone.
I think our children, nephews, and nieces, and grandchildren are going to have to get back to us on that, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think they'll keep everything happy until the elections next week. So, you know, and the market, it's probably a tug of war with the market. You probably have one side that wants the market to collapse, and the other side is doing everything possible to keep it up. So, but yeah, so you can expect trading to be the same yesterday and today for the rest of the week until after the election. After the election, you know, all bets are off. But speaking of China and their debt and the problems that they're having from a bank's perspective, borrowing in dollars is going short on dollars because you need dollar assets to back up those liabilities if the original lenders want their money back. So for the most part, these banks don't have those assets because they converted the dollar to the yuan to prop up the local real estate Ponzi and local corporations. So there's not much left to bail out the corporate, individual, and real estate sectors. And this is all part of the global dollar shortage attributable to the Fed tightening, both in the forms of higher rates, but also a reduction in base money. And a dollar shortage seems implausible in a world where the Fed printed $4.4 trillion. But while the Fed was printing, the world borrowed over $70 trillion, and that is on top of prior loans. So the dollar shortage is real, and the math is inescapable, Dave.
Yeah, what this means, the Chinese debt bomb that's been a long time in the making is getting ready to explode. You know, their economy is slowing, debt is skyrocketing, the trade war has certainly hurt China's exports and stock markets, its economy overall, but especially the export it needed to earn dollars to pay the debts. And the defaults are beginning to pile up, reportedly. Several large corporations and regional governments have defaulted recently. China's leaders have begun to panic at the slowdown and have started the credit flow again with lower interest rates, higher bank leverage, and more debt finance, government-directed infrastructure spending. And they're not manipulating their currency? Well, of course, you know, this solution, as it were, is strictly temporary. All it does is postpone the day of reckoning and make the debt crisis worse when it does arrive. And that's coming soon. It's shocking it hasn't already come. With each passing day, a financial collapse in China draws closer. And mark this, the world will not escape the consequences. You know, prepare for the impact of this coming explosion by buying more gold and silver now. Call Discount Gold and Silver today, listeners, at 1-800 375-4188.
Get rid of that paper currency, ladies and gentlemen, and buy some real money. And that's the whole idea behind this all. I had a couple of interesting calls today, Dave. One was, I actually came from the website. I just have to chuckle at this one. I think the listeners will find a chuckle from this one, too. Somebody was looking for 40,000 ounces of gold. And I thought, well, it wasn't from Nigeria.
Tell them to go to India?
It was actually from Australia, the website, and it was actually a trading firm from Australia. And you know, this program is worldwide, so you don't know. So if you're listening and you're legitimate, give me a call. But so I just thought that was kind of funny. And then I also had someone who was about to inherit some funds. It was a large amount, and you know, he said to me, he says, you know, he says, I can't keep this large amount of funds in the bank. He says, so the only thing that I can really convert and to protect is to put it into gold and silver. And I couldn't disagree with him, of course, because I believe that too. He says, how do I protect this large amount of funds? He says, some of it, yeah, he says, I'm going to buy some land. He says, but for the most part, he says, I need something that's liquid and I need to protect, you know, the money that he inherited, and it is quite a bit of amount. So we'll see how that follows through. But that's the whole idea of buying gold and silver, protecting your purchasing power and getting out of those paper fiat dollars and getting some real money. Before we go into the brevity is golden, I just want to talk a little bit about how the Fed is proposing a revised bank regulations. Smaller banks would face significantly reduced regulations, while the larger institutions would see largely the same scrutiny under the rules the Federal Reserve proposed today. Now, I guess these are the latest changes?
Yes.
In addition to the ones that already were?
Yes. Yeah, this is, you know, what Congress passed as a, you know, an amendment to the Dodd-Frank legislation was an order to the Fed to come up with enabling regulations.
So the Fed has made to reduce the regulatory burden for the community and regional financial institutions. And, of course, that unwinds the restrictions that, or some of the restrictions, at least, that were put in place after 2008. So, again, these are less stringent requirements on firms with less risk, while maintaining the most stringent requirements for firms that pose the greatest risk to the financial system and our economy. And that was said by the Fed Chair Jerome Powell today.
Yeah, under the plan, banks would be divided into four categories, Melody, you know, each with different so-called risk profiles. You know, the lowest rung would entail banks between 100 and 250 billion in assets. You know, they'd be subject to what are being characterized as significantly reduced requirements, you know, including exclusion from the annual stress test the Fed conducts to see how banks would hold up in the face of another financial crisis. Then there are those banks at the next level between 250 or more in assets, or with 100 billion in assets that exceed certain defined risk thresholds, they'd be subject to what's called enhanced standards. A third category would focus on those with a global scale or assets at 700 billion or more. You know, they'd have what the Fed calls more stringent prudential standards. And the final category, considered globally systemically important banks, which are the too bigs to fail, you know, would have the same highly stringent standards adopted and in place since the crisis of 2008.
Well, you know, it'd be really interesting to. It kind of reminds me the timing of everything, like going into the Great Recession of 2008. Prior to they rewrote the bankruptcy laws. You know, so we all knew, okay, we know what's coming, because you have to make it against the individual and make it positive for, you know, the corporations with these bankruptcy rewrites and so forth. And, you know, by just the timing tells you everything. This kind of reminds me the same thing. You know, we're at the point where they need to reduce these or ease these regulations, because if they don't, it all comes undone. So this gives them, what, a little bit more time so they can lend a little bit more money and create some more debt for people and so forth. But what's interesting is that these banks at the highest asset levels, the rules remain in place, though Fed officials says they're looking to move away from the annual public stress test. Those banks would still test annually, but would only have to report the results every 2 years. Okay, so you get the stress test in 2018, but you really don't have to, am I reading that right? Or am I understanding that right? But they wouldn't have to report the results until 2020.
You know, that's a good question. I believe they'd get it next year for 2018, and but wouldn't have to report it until 2020. Every other year, which, you know, it's sort of, it's letting them off the hook is what it is.
It absolutely is. So again, it's another sign that, you know, they're grasping for straws. And so we're going to head into Brevity is Golden. We got about a minute and a half, so I hope we can get it done. More AI coming to the home delivery. And, of course, it's our time for our weekly segment, Brevity is Golden. And, Dave, it looks like one grocery giant is looking to automate home delivery.
Yeah, Albertson is looking to automate one of the biggest headaches when it comes to home delivery, putting together the basket of items. You know, in the past, when people order their groceries from an Albertson store online, an employee, a live human being, would walk around the store picking up items to pack for delivery. Such a process, obviously, can be costly and time-consuming because stores lay out their products to appeal to people's shopping patterns, not to achieve the most efficient path to filling a basket. But now Albertsons has announced a trial partnership with Takeoff Technologies at the Grocery Shop Conference in Vegas. And with it, the grocer will employ technology instead of employees for the effort. Hooray, hooray.
Well, you know, we're about to talk about this on Friday, where I saw where there's a warehouse now that is in Japan that is strictly AI, no humans whatsoever. But we're out of time, so us humans will have to be back tomorrow. So be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's too bad.